Good morning. Well, today is a great day in the church. This is the beginning of a new year in the liturgical calendar, the beginning of our church year, the beginning of Advent, a day that begins new hope, new expectations, new preparations for the coming of Christ.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout their leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down and with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
This prayer is attributed to Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Lord, when all is darkness and we feel our weakness and helplessness, give us the sense of your presence, your love, and your strength. Help us to have perfect trust in your protecting love. Bless us with your strengthening power so that nothing may frighten or worry us, for living close to you, we shall see your hand, your purpose, your will through all things. Amen. Be seated. So trying to keep with the theme of the gospel, I scoured the internet for a good end of the world joke. I have to say I came up short. There are like two, and every website that talks about having good end of the world jokes has one of those in my time with you. So I thought, well, what's the next best thing to an end-of-the-world joke? Ah, a Green Valley joke. Right? Not that there's any connection between the two. But I thought you might appreciate this. I do have to tell you that before I say this, that somebody at the end of the 8 o'clock service wondered if this really was not a joke about me, but I'll let you figure that out, okay? An elderly Green Valley person, I'm not attributing gender to this, a Green Valley person called 911 on their cell phone to report that their car had been broken into and that someone had stripped it clean. The person said they've stolen the stereo, even the steering wheel, the brake pedal, and even the accelerator. The dispatcher said, stay calm, an officer is on the way, and the officer arrived, and then after a few minutes, the officer called back to the dispatch and said, "Disregard, the caller got in the back seat by mistake." And then what's really scary is that I was talking to somebody after the service who does do work for Green Valley Sheriff's Department and started telling me about the kind of calls they really get. This one is mild. On January 1st, every year, we celebrate as we usher in a new calendar year. What do people do? They gather together with friends at a party on New Year's Eve, count down the last 10 seconds of the departing old year, if you can stay up long enough. And then as midnight strikes and the new year begins, people come out with noisemakers and fireworks, and the cork pops off the champagne bottles, and there are shouts of Happy New Year, and people are cheering and hugging and kissing one another to toast this new beginning. You also can do the same thing, by the way, with about a million of your very best friends in Times Square if you want to go to New York and watch that big old ball, lighted ball, come down. Now, New Year's Day is a day off for most people. For many, it's also a day of recovery from the celebrations that happened the night before. But on New Year's Day, there are parades, there are football games, and lots of places they celebrate the birth of the first baby of the year who gets special recognition, and people make New Year's resolutions promising to improve something about their lives in the coming year. The mood is one of joy and festivity, and in the movies even, it's often a celebration of new possibilities. Contrast that with the start of the new church year, the new liturgical year, which starts today. So how many of you decided to ring in this new church year with parties last night? How many of you went to parties for other reasons last night? One anyway. I'm sure I know there was more than one out there. Well, I didn't. Not certainly because of a new church year. The mood is different. Did you hear the scripture readings, the gospel passage especially, that sets the tone for the ushering in of a new church year? It's filled with apocalyptic language that speaks of judgment, terror, cosmic signs of the end times. We just heard, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Are you shaking? Are you shaking in your boots? You're supposed to be shaking in your boots. Anxiety is supposed to take over right now. The parallel verse in Mark's gospel says even a little bit more. It says, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And both gospels tell us that this is when the Son of Man is coming in clouds with power and great glory. Happy New Year. The signs, the language of tribulation, talk of the end, fear and trembling, it's part of a body of literature that is called apocalyptic literature. You might recognize it as the literature by which the book of Revelation is written, or the chapters 7 through 12 in the book of Daniel. They both use many of the same images and symbols, but what is so often misunderstood by those who are literalists of the Bible is that they are not meant to be taken literally, and they are not meant to predict the future. The context, you may note, for both of those, if you look them up, is about dreams and visions. Daniel had a vision. John had a vision. Did you ever, for example, try to relay something meaningful to a friend after having a dream and make sense of what you're trying to tell them? It's near impossible. But those two are not the only examples of apocalyptic literature in the Bible. There are many in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, including the gospel passage we just heard this morning from Luke. The problem is that when you don't understand the literature as symbolic, you misinterpret its significance, and you potentially derive all sorts of meaning that is not intended by the writers. So what is intended? What is intended to be understood by apocalyptic literature? In a nutshell, you can break it down into one word. Hope. Now, I know you're going to say, hope. I didn't hear a bit of hope in that passage that we just heard from the gospel reading. But it is hope. Biblical scholar David Noel Friedman says in the Journal for Theology and Church, apocalyptic is born of crisis. From the start, it was underground literature, the consolation of the persecuted. The language of this underground literature gave hope to the nation of Israel and gave hope to the followers of Christ. Face what is coming in a renewed way. Face what is coming again with courage, with joy. Stand up, the gospel just said. Stand up and raise your heads because redemption is drawing near. There certainly are those people who will face this day with terror and dread. The scripture passage just said people will faint and fear in foreboding of what is to come upon the world. Why? Why be so fearful of what is coming? Well, I believe they would have a right to be fearful because they won't be ready. There are people who will not be ready. They won't be ready because their hearts were never in the right place. They will not have led lives of care and compassion toward other people. All of life and living will be for the fulfillment of their own personal needs, their own wants, their own desires. They will not see the poor struggling to just make it another day. They will ignore the pleas for justice, for fair treatment, for worthiness. They will not even notice the skeletal child dying from malnourishment or the abused woman being kicked to the ground or the teenager being trafficked as a sex slave. And worst of all, they might be more than just blind. They might be perpetrators. They might be the cause. They might just simply stand by with disregard for human life. Yes, they should be afraid. These are the people who, when the Son of Man comes, as it says in the Gospel of Matthew, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? When was that? And then the Son of Man will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Now, in contrast, of course, there are those who follow the way of Christ and who have every reason to rejoice on that day, to celebrate, to set off the fireworks, to cheer and hug and kiss one another because they know in faith that what is to come is nothing more than a moment of transformation to the new creation. So who are these people? Well, these are the people who do care, who do reach out, who do fight for justice. These are the people who open their eyes wide enough and respond in a positive way to the human being in need. The human who is suffering, the human who is abused, the human in poverty, the human lying in the gutter, the human under the bridge, the human struggling, the human suffering derision, the human excluded, the human in pain, the human in fear, the human being who desires nothing more than to be treated lovingly as one of God's own, created in God's own image and likeness. To those, Jesus says, the end is not a time to fear, not a time to tremble, not a time of foreboding. To quote a section of today's passage, but using and then, it does say it twice, by the way. They'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high, help is on the way. And that's why our new year, our new church year, the first Sunday of Advent, begins every year with a scripture passage that, while sounding dreadful, really, really points us with hope to the coming again of Christ with joyful expectation, a hope that finds expression in how we live our lives today. That's what makes today a happy new year. Amen. With hope and joy, let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.